Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Jonathan Dyke.
How are you?
Awesome.
Excellent.
If you can say good morning in German, then go ahead and do that. Possibly. What did you say? Sausage board? Okay. I drive an Audi, so my German is brilliant. Awesome. It's great. Well, it's good to see you all. Just look at the person next to you and say, I'm glad you're here. If you're talking to an empty chair, and you might be, then you're a bit strange, okay? But that empty chair is for you to bring someone next week. That's kind of what we do. So it's great to be here again, and I've brought two extremely competent people with me because they make me look good, and that's really important. They're both on staff. They've done 2 years in a Bible school, and then from last camp to this camp, we really felt we wanted to invest in a smaller group of people, get them involved in work, and also get them involved in ministry development. So Sam and Annette and six others, we've invited them to be part of this program. It's called Accelerate. We're going to run it again this year, but it's only by invitation. I already know the six that I want. The guy that works with me, Simon, he's probably got the same six. But anyway, but I'm going to invite these guys out in a minute because I know they've really been praying for you, even though they don't really know you. They've been praying for this time, and they do know the time, and I know that they hear from God, which is kind of all you need, really. But just to save them a bit of time, Sam for 20 hours a week, works in the kitchen. So he's been developing kind of all stuff with a guy called Steve, who's our catering manager, and been a real blessing. But also, he's based out of the Crawley congregation. For those of you that don't know, we have three congregations that are all three quarters of the way through service. One in Horsham, which is the main one. There's about 350, 400 adults there. The one in Crawley, where Sam is based, there's about 100 adults there. We've just repurposed that one. It's got a brand new leader and his wife in place there, and it's great. And then in Worthing, which is the one I'm responsible for at the moment, where Annette actually is based with me, so I'm blessed. I hope she is too. Did you say yes? Awesome. Great. It's amazing the reach that I have from here to there. It's like... Annette really is running as part of the facilitators team, and she, in her part-time job, although it's not really part-time because of her heart, she's looking after all the housekeeping around, particularly around the Bible school. But she's also, in terms of Worthing, she's part of my leadership team. So I'm blessed to have Annette as part of that. She's got a real people heart, so she runs all of our Connect stuff, which is like the Sunday team, and also new people. We're seeing a significant number of new people just coming on every week, week by week by week by week. And they're finding Jesus, which is great because Jesus is looking for them. And I was saying yesterday, we baptized, I think, 13 people just over a month ago. And we were already ready to start baptizing another dozen or so in the summer. With us in Worthing, we're blessed because we're going to do ours in the sea. Have it. But I'm going to get Annette to do it because it's too cold for me. But it's great. But anyway, so we're really blessed. Trying to get these guys to come up. In case you don't know who I am, well done. Awesome. That is amazing. I kind of have different roles within the life of the church. I'm part of what's two particular groups, both in our leadership. One is called the executive team, I think. And that basically just gets stuff done. That's really exciting. And then the spiritual oversight team, which slightly different. It's really, really prayer focused and really catching kind of the wind of what God is saying and just making sure that we're on track, which is brilliant. In terms of the day-to-day stuff, the days just merge into one day. Actually, when you know Jesus, one day is very much like another day. You just kind of wake up and say, thank God I can serve you and thank God I'm useful. That's kind of how my days are. Brian, I've chatted with Brian and he said, I don't even know what day it is, I'm retired. Great. What day is it? I was going to say it's Monday, you should be at work, but that would only freak him out. But I guess when you really give your life to Jesus, and we were looking at this yesterday a little bit, you give your time, your talent and your treasure to Jesus. So actually, days mean different things when you're working and serving the Lord. So if you haven't given your life to Jesus this morning, I just want to remind you of some facts. A, he already knows you. We're running a little thing called Alpha. You might have heard of it. You may not have done it. It doesn't matter. We've got about 30, 35 people that have been coming along every week for that. And most of those don't know God yet. And they're realising, even though they don't know him, he already knew them. And they're really not realising that even though they didn't really know whether it was this God, this God, this God, this God, or even themselves as God, week by week, God's been showing that he is the only real God. So we've had guys come that believe in everything. We've got guys come that believe in nothing. And we've got guys come that only believe in themselves. All kinds of people. All kinds of people. And yet, week by week by week, by the grace of God, Jesus has just been revealing who he is. So we've had all kinds of conversations around, you know, why don't we become Mormons? Why don't we become Jehovah's Witnesses? Why don't we do this, that, and the other? But the reality of the presence of Jesus makes the difference. And last Monday we were doing, you know, Does God Heal Today? And it was just funny to see four particular people, none of them know God yet, all of them get healed by God. And they just can't explain it. Me, I'm just laughing. On the inside, it's like, aha, aha. Because you can't explain God only by having a conversation. His presence, the presence of Jesus, is beyond explanation. So when we were praying for these guys, and say two of the three particularly, they were just experiencing the presence of God like we are now. And it might be that it's like, well, who is God? What is God? Jesus loves you. The question isn't about the love of God. It's about how do I live in the love of God? But Jesus loves you. And you need to know that. So this year, 2018, God's been speaking to us about it being a year of breakthrough. Just say breakthrough. Now, for some of you, that might be the first time you've responded like that in a service. I have no idea. So that might be the beginning of your breakthrough. But what that basically means to us is that God has tremendous promises and tremendous plans for our lives, for you and for me. Yeah. And we tend to live in a very nominal condition. We just do enough to get by. And God wants us to be more than that. But the first thing that God wants to change in my life and in yours is, who are we? Who are you? Who are we? Because we do what we do out of who we are. So over these weeks of kind of praying a little bit, not eating a little bit, not watching media for a little bit, you know, 21 days, all this kind of stuff, God is becoming very, very real to us. Who he is, what he can do, what he's given us, who he's made us. And as a result of that, stuff is just happening on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it's been great where I think Steve was saying to me, well, you know, these guys from Alpha, where do they come from? Well, 80% of them, so 25 people, come because we know them. They're just mates. They're just family members. They live across the street. They live next door. Maybe they're people that we don't like. Come on. Maybe they're just people we don't like. Maybe they're people that we know don't like us. But our heart for Jesus for them is far greater than the fact whether I like them or not. Or whether they like me or not. So some people have to take a step out and say, why don't you come along, we're doing this thing. And they're getting blessed. So it's good. We've been up here since yesterday. We're on the cusp, we're on the verge of something which is really exciting. I think God wants to do more than take us further today. If you haven't been here since yesterday, you should have been here last night. It was a bit interesting evening last night. I think the roof was raised a few inches last night. Hallelujah. But if you're here today, you're here at the right time. So turn to the person next to you and say, you're here at the right time. Now, I have asked Sam and Annette to kind of share a couple of things, but in English. All right. Or you can, one of you can do it in German, the other can translate. Seems slightly pointless to me, but... So why don't we welcome Sam and Annette.
I'll see you guys later. Have a good time.
Brilliant. Yeah, I've been introduced. I am Sam, yes. And these couple of weeks so far, term three at college, we all hear about breaking out to break through. The thing is, you need to break out first to break through. And for you to break through with God, it's breaking out of habits, breaking out of whatever, your comfort zone, where you are actually placed, the biggest breakout you need first is actually in you. So reading the Bible this morning was quite funny because I just flicked around and had no clue where I was supposed to end up. But I actually found my testimony in the Bible, which was really, really surprising. And the thing, yeah, I want to share this with you. It's in Luke 17, the story of the 10 leopards actually coming to Jesus. The funny thing is, 10 of them came to Jesus. All 10 gets healed. All 10 of them walk away. Well, there's no point in that. On the way back, one of them realizes what actually just happened. He got healed. He turns around. He's coming back. And then Jesus responds to him and says, actually, your faith made you well. Not your faith healed you, but your faith made you well. So all 10 gets healed. All 10 walk away. This one guy comes back, and actually he is well. So he's not just healed physically, but he's healed and made well mentally. He's made well. Actually, he's breaking through. He's transformed. This one guy is changed, and he's going to make a difference now. And the thing was, the phrase I had, I was running with for like a week now probably, is actually, God never waits until you're able. He just waits until you're available. Well, and I thought, well, that's easy. I don't need to be able. I'm not able. Well, brilliant. But I'm available, and I want to be available. Yeah. So, and that's why I'm here.
Last one.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Yeah. To be honest, this is the place I wanted to be the less, because I feel much more safe in the back, where I'm invisible, where I can do all the little things and support people and serve them. But to stand here and to speak, it's something just, oof, it's completely out of my comfort zone. And I was really struggling with this, that I have to speak up, and I know that something God wants me to break through, to find my voice and to speak out. And it, for me, the last 2 weeks, especially we had at the college always when we start a new term, we have to meet with the Lord week. And it was really about, okay, God wants us to really realizing that we cannot do anything by ourselves, by in our own strengths, because there's nothing good in us, but He is everything for us. And when we start to depend on Him and to trust Him, there's so much more He wants to do in us and through us. And this being, yeah, just being aware of, actually, God knows me so perfectly. He knows all the little bits and all the big bits, and he doesn't give up on me. He's encouraging me in all the, yeah, through people, through the body, and he's doing so much more in me that I'm often not realizing really what he's doing. And one scripture that really was so important, or becoming so important for me, is 1 John 4:4, that it says, actually, the one living in you is much greater than the one out there in the world. And often I'm actually in the point where I don't live in this truth, and I try to do things in my own strengths, and I'm struggling with what's coming next. And no, actually, that's not who I am, because I'm not, I shouldn't be the captive in myself, and that somehow I feel often. But actually, the one who lives in me is bigger, and there's so much more he wants to do. And I just want to encourage you, whoever you are and in what situation you are, that there's so much more God wants to do in and through you. Just do these little steps. It's often are the little steps of trusting, and the next situation, just trusting again and knowing God is for me, God is with me, and there's no chance that He will let me go, because He's holding me at my right hand. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome. I'm just chuckling on the inside, because I know for Annette that would be the last thing ever in the whole history of the universe that she would have wanted to do. However, there's a principle here. If you want to see something new, you have to do something new. There's a principle here. If we want to see God do what God says He can do, sometimes we have to do something very natural. All right, that's very natural what's happened, but something supernatural happened. Does that kind of make sense to anybody? So, you know, yesterday, you know, somebody that's here today had a breakthrough. And it was time. But it's time for yours. So I'm just going to kind of share some stuff out of the Bible and then some thoughts on it. And I don't know, we got Annette to go second because it kind of fits in with the message. So, well done. The word that the Lord has been given us to Kingdom Faith, and probably to you too, I mean, Steve's mentioned it four times already, comes from 2 Samuel 5:18. Just to paint a picture, David had faced his Goliath, he'd faced his lions, he'd faced his bears, he'd faced whatever. And he had just been set apart by God to rule the nation. And it says that as soon as the enemies of God heard that they'd put somebody in place, they spread themselves out. So here's the first thing. When you're moving into something new in God, even if it is to have a new relationship or even the first time relationship with Jesus, you get 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't. And they'll just appear. It's like, where did that come from? But you only need one reason too. And that's because you can. So last week at this Alpha thing, somebody on the little table I was chatting to, they said to me, you know, probably there's 1% of me that believes in God and 99% that just thinks it's a load of rubbish. And gave me loads of reasons. And I said, what if you're wrong? So why don't we do something with that 1% and see what God does? And they allow us to pray. And as soon as we began to pray, boom, God turned those statistics up the other way. And by the end of it, yeah, there's 1% of me that isn't quite sure, but 99% of me says, yeah, Jesus is real. When we're on the verge of getting our miracle, when we're on the verge of getting our breakthrough, it will always look as if there's more reasons not to than there are to. Because the enemy always spreads himself thin. It can be financial pressure, relational pressure, it can be physicality, can be emotional, can be mental. The enemy will always appear bigger than he is. Always. If you're a Christian, if you're part of this congregation, it's a praying congregation, as ours is, I can guarantee this. You can be thinking all kinds of spiritual stuff. Some of it's relevant, some of it isn't. As soon as somebody says, let's pray, your brain goes out the window. Or is that just me? Because the enemy doesn't want you to pray, because as soon as you ask, you get. So the enemy can't do anything to stop you getting what God wants you to have. All he can do is stop you asking for it. So the enemy spread himself out, right? Yeah. And what did David do? David was a smart guy. And this is what kind of we've been doing since yesterday. It said David went to the stronghold. And I believe God wants to put a stronghold of himself into your life. Yeah. These are the days when men and women need to rise up and be strong. There's a whole world out there that is trying to spread itself out with a veil of pretense, a veil of enticement, all kinds of veils out there. Hello. Hope that's not you squeaking. The world out there wants to distract and dissuade. But God has an answer and it's in the stronghold. But I just want to share, based on a real issue, real story, what I believe God wants to do this morning. Is that right? I'm going anyway because I've got a microphone. Hallelujah. Because that's just how it is. In the book of Ruth, do you put scriptures up on the back, Angus? He's not. Do you put scriptures on the back or not? Can you? Can you do that? Awesome. You don't have to. I'm just asking whether you can. actually, sorry. It'd be good if you did. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. So before this appears through Scottish technology, let's just give a little bit of background. So here we have a situation where this family of three people, there's kind of a natural blood family, there's a mother and a daughter, and then there is a stepdaughter. And all of them have come through crisis. Husbands have been killed, their inheritance has been taken, they've been made homeless, they've been made nationless, they've been made tribeless. Everything that they valued, everything that they were, has been taken away from them. The only thing that they've got is their relationship one with another. That's all they had at this time. They were on a journey. The mum had decided, even though everything has gone, I'm going to go back to where the promise was made. even though everything has fallen apart in my world, my husband's gone, your husbands have gone, my grandchildren never going to have, lardy, lardy, lardy. She was thinking, everything's gone. But the one thing that remains is that my life belongs to God. And I'm going to go back there. So Naomi didn't sit and think, oh dear, poor old me, what's going on? She made a decision in her heart, I'm going to go back to where the promise was made. And on that journey, we come to this interesting, thank you. On the way, we then break into this, which is verse 8 and 9. Naomi, the mum, said to her daughter-in-law, go back, just go back to your own parents' home. It's not a bad choice. It's not a wrong choice. She said, because the Lord is going to show you kindness. Say kindness. Kindness. As you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest. Say find rest. In the home, say home, of another husband. This was just God's basic blessing, which she knew. God will always, always, because of who he is, he will always show you kindness. He will always bring you into a place of rest. And he'll always give you a home. This is just God's heart for you. Even if you don't know him, it's still his heart for you. He wants to be kind to you. He wants you to find rest, the Bible says, for your soul. But he also wants you to find a home. This is just God's basic blessing for everybody. Then she kissed them goodbye and they wept aloud. Now here's an interesting conflict going on there. I think they cried because basically what she was saying is, you can have an all right life. You can go back where you came from. It's never quite as bad as it looks because somehow it's going to be all right. This was a hope. It'll be fine. Deal with it. Sort it out. Learn how to cope with it. Learn how to get on with it. In other words, look at the positive and just hope for the best. They could have done that. You can do that. You can just have the same kind of life, dealing with the same kinds of situations in the same kind of way if you want to. And God isn't going to ignore that, but God isn't as in that as he wants to be in that. In other words, if you want to see something new, you've got an option. You can either do the old or do the new. It's interesting the response here. It's Ruth 1:14. It says this, and I believe this is the crux of it. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. What does that mean? Kiss and tell. I love you, but bye-bye. I get where you're coming from. This is a sign of affection. This is a sign of honour. I love you. But I'm off. And we can all do that. We can do that with God. Some of these guys on Alpha have been doing that with God. They've come along, enjoyed the food, enjoyed the atmosphere, given God a bit of a kiss. Bye. Bye, God. See you next week. But Ruth clung to her. That is the turning point. We all respond to stuff either with a kiss, we touch it and leave it, or we cling on to it. I believe today we need to move from a kissing approach to a cling-on. Cling-on's on the, not that kind of cling-on. That's just weird. To a cling-on approach. Because what I believe was happening here is in Orpha's heart, the first one that just kissed her said, yeah, I love you, I respect you, but actually, I'm going to go back to where I know and do what I know how to do. Because it's familiar, it's friendly, it's safe. It might not be very good, but like the phrase that we use, better the devil you know, right? There's a funny one, if there's ever been one. But Ruth, I think, decided in her heart, I think there's an option to this. I think there's an alternative to this. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's going to cost. But I'm prepared to let go of what I know. I'm prepared to let go of who I've been. I'm prepared to let go of my inheritance. I'm prepared to let go of everything. And go with you, even though I don't know where it is. And I believe God is laying that challenge before all of us today. Because we all know where we've been. But you can't go back there. Or you can. But it'll never change. Or we can go forward and change the future. Amen. Personally, my only personal conviction is that the only thing that my past does for me is get me ready for today. So it goes on and says this, Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. It was a decision in Ruth's heart, which was, I'm committed to this. Actually, I'm committed to you. It wasn't a this, because she didn't know what the this was. She had no idea. She was from the wrong tribe, spoke the wrong language, had the wrong dialect, had come under the influence of the wrong religion. This was Ruth. She shouldn't have been in the Bible. And there's a whole book written about her. She certainly shouldn't have become the grandparent of who she became the grandparent of. Just read it in your own time. But she was in the wrong place. But she was in the right time. And her attitude was, I'm going to commit myself to you. Don't know what it's going to mean. Don't know what it's going to look like. And I think there are some keys here. First thing she said is, where you go, I will go. I want to journey with you. I'm going to walk with you because I need to learn from you. The journey ahead is very exciting. The good old days are not behind us. We haven't seen them yet. The best days of life are ahead of us, not behind us. Do you understand that? This is a different outlook. The outlook is there's more to see, more to be part of, more to experience than we've ever seen. I mean, we're so blessed back, you know, back in our kind of setup, and in this one too. You know, I serve a guy, you know, he's 78 this year, but he's lived in a level of relationship with Jesus where you can just go, and people get healed. When you're running 14 healing groups for 2-3 years and there's nobody leaves those groups sick. Everybody, 100% of people get healed from cancers to mental, everything, the lot. He's seen it all. But he's still looking for that to happen again. Not in the same way, but in this way. Does that make sense? So he's been there. It's not a video, it's not a t-shirt, it's not a book. We all get them. Because what the world will try and offer you is an alternative. We think we're living in God's best because we look at all the best TV programs. We think we're living in God's revival because we look at read books about revival. Doesn't work like that. You've got to go on the journey of it. You've got to go on the journey with someone. There's something which I use a lot in our sitting on a Sunday, which is I can run fast. Even at my age, I can still run fast on my own. But I can run further with you. I can run fast on my own, but I can run further with you. Because there are things that I learn from you, as well as hopefully things that I can help you with. So for me, the body of Christ is essential, and it's the only method that God's going to give us the best, is when we're together. We can have a great life, but we have a greater life when we're with somebody else. And I think Ruth got that. Then she said, and where you stay, I'll stay. We share everything. We celebrate success and we learn to delight in adversity. We're seeking the best for one another. If you're sleeping out in the stars, I'm going to sleep in the stars. If you're sleeping in a restaurant, I'm going to sleep. Ruth said, I'm going to just be with you. Whatever it means. Whether it means I've got to turn up and put the chairs out, whether I come and sit on them. I'm just going to be with you. So I love what God's doing in our congregation. It's great because I don't have to set anything up. Hooray! I'll just turn up and come on. There's people doing this, that, and you. And that's up there, organising everybody, because that's what she does. So what we're developing is a culture. When people come into the church, the service for the first time, they don't know. But maybe we shouldn't have to do anything, because they see everybody doing everything. So when they come into a congregational setting, it's like it's normal for them to say hi. And be the welcome team, the host team, the worship team, the prayer. Because that's the new way. The old way is, I'll do that. The new way is, we do that. Do you understand that? So we've learned, and we are learning, the value of being together. And then she went on and said, your people have become my people. We commit to people that we didn't choose, and sometimes we never would. again, there's an English phrase, you can't choose your family. Oh, God did. And that's amazing. That's a mind game. Blows your mind. Again, I was sharing yesterday where, you know, we've seen people who we wouldn't choose come to the knowledge of Christ and get totally set free. People in that were transgender, people that were in lesbian or homosexual relationships, just giving their lives to Jesus, and boom, they're journeying as a different person. And the worst thing that I can do is see them as they were, not as they could be. But that's the same for you and for me. It doesn't matter how you came in the door. It matters more how you leave. Yeah. You know, the door, we all go out the same door. How you go out the same door will determine how your Monday looks. Have you got that? So whether you think you're having a great time with God or your relationship's great or not, God wants to enhance it. Then Ruth goes on and says, your God will become my God. I want to have the same faith as you. I want to live in the unity of this spirit. I want to have a relationship, not a religious relationship, which is what I'm used to. I want to have a living relationship with the living God. You see, sometimes when we've known God a little bit, we become very boring. Even to God, I think. Should I be honest with you? Instead of the vibrant, effervescent life that Jesus came, that Zoe life. We can all deal with the Eros life, if you're married, that's fine. But we can deal with a love relationship, which is just, I'll give you a kiss, but I won't be here next week. I know the agape love is unconditional. And that's here what Ruth was showing me, even before she knew what it was herself. Do you understand? Is this kind of coming across? In 6 minutes, we're all going to be in the same room. Because we're all going to respond as a family. One of the things which I love about God is that he puts us into family. Ruth went on and said this, where you die, I will die. I'm in it to the end. Don't you just love that? I don't know whether there's anybody in this room, including me, that can really 100% say, yeah, I'm like that, without putting some kind of condition. I'll come with you all the way until it doesn't go the way I want it. I'll come with you all the way until I see you make a mistake. Come on. But Ruth said, I'm just going all the way. And if we die on the journey, we die on the journey. And I think God wants to bring us into that kind of commitment with one another. I'm not saying that we're not committed, but a conditional commitment is not a commitment. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like you say a promise and you cross your fingers if you're into that, which I'm not. Didn't really mean it. Whereas Ruth, she meant it. If we go into this next town and we end up getting stoned, I'm going to get stoned with you. If we end up getting blessed, I'm going to get blessed with you. It says, in the end, we're dealing with issues, we're dealing with challenges, we're dealing with upsets and hurts, because actually, and if you know that sometimes we just annoy each other. I know I do, I annoy Annette a lot. Don't I? Come on, be honest now. And I can tell what I have, she looks at me and I thought, oh, hello, and I need to go and sort that out. Because I'm committed to her more to being right. The Bible tells me that there's only one person in the entire world that is right, and it ain't you. It's Jesus. So I'm committed to putting things right, not being right. Because it's not the same. So when she says, where you die, I will die, it's preferring to arrive together than to be right. And then she says, and there I'll be buried. And I think on our journey, we need to bury stuff. And maybe some of us need to bury stuff today. Crappy attitudes. Negativity. Being really, 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 really quick to anger and slow to forgive, which is kind of the right words, but upside down. Maybe we just need to forgive ourselves. Maybe we just need to forget what's been and remember what's coming. Maybe we just need to ask God to put something in our heart where when we look at people in the room, we prefer them to us. Do you know what I mean by that? And that's hard. That's hard. God really took my legs out with that one weeks ago. when I started to realise, actually, I don't mind, like, similar to what Annette said, but she's further down the journey on this than me. I don't mind sitting at the back as long as in my invisibility people still see me. See, sometimes people see you as much when you're not there as they do when you're there. So one of the things that I teach my leadership team, and that's one of them, is don't celebrate absence, celebrate presence. Because your life matters. When you're not around, we're not the same. When you are around, we're not the same. Because your life matters. Whether you bring stuff or whether you don't, your life matters. And I'm sure she won't mind if she can hit me afterwards. Vicky realised that for the first time yesterday. Your life matters. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. So are we kissers or are we clingers? And then Ruth says this, may the Lord deal with me ever so severely if even death separates you and me. And then Naomi realised that Ruth was determined to go. I believe God wants us to leave determined to go. Now some of you already might be thinking, does that mean I can leave now because I don't like... Oh, your timing is awesome. In case you didn't know, that's Tanya going to the toilet. Not a very convenient moment. It's for her. Sorry? Right. That's quite good. I saw what you did then. In your kind of twisted electrical mind there. That was amazing. May the Lord deal with me. See, at the time, and even now, this is a big commitment. This is a big phrase. This is a big statement that Ruth is saying before God. Because basically what she's saying is, I'm so determined to go with you that it's going to be impossible for me not to. If I don't go with you, then I'm in God's hands. Which is a big deal. It's a big deal. May the Lord deal with me. And so, at the sound of this, Naomi realised, well, Ruth, you've made this decision in your heart, not your head. Not in just in your hands or your feet, or because there's nowhere else to go, but you've determined you're coming. And that's it. There's nothing I can do to change your mind. So let's get on with it. So here's a New Testament equivalent, which you may not have exactly the same translation. This is from the Message, which is right. Philippians 2, 5-8 says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We might know what the rest says, but let's read it again. Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. What does that mean? It means if we really, really are living fully for Jesus, then the Bible says we're dead. So do we kiss or cling? Or do we react to people, or do we respond to people? Because when we're dead to something, we don't react. If it's still a bit ouchy, then we can. And what we're going to do in a minute, hey guys, let's welcome these guys. Are you coming back in now? Is everybody here? Or is it just you? Awesome. Is there a few more? Because you look a bit old to be in the kids group, if you don't mind me saying. Hello, mate. You all coming? Come on. Come on in. Who else is coming? Come on, guys. Let's welcome these guys back in. Let's have a sit somewhere. Sit on the floor. Is there some younger ones coming? Awesome. So you guys that have just come in, you've come... Oh, hello. You guys that have just come in, we're just going to do something together in a minute. And it's really important that you're here, which is why I asked for you to come back. It was you who did these, wasn't it? You cut these up? Three? I was just going to big you up then, so you did all of them. Anyway, we've cut some of these up. I don't know, is there another table of these? Is there one there? Awesome. I thought there would be. So I'm going to ask you in a minute, whatever age you are, whether you know God or not, whether you want to know God or not, whether you really know God really well or not, is that we can all find one of these. Thanks, Angus. Hello, you lovelies. Hello, how are you? Hello. Iris make that noise all the time. You want to put this one over here, mate? Thanks, Steve. Hello, you lovely lot. Is there some more coming? Hello, hello. Well done. Great to see you. Thanks for serving the guys this morning. We just wanted you to be part of what's going on this morning. So in a minute, I'm going to ask everybody that can breathe. Is everybody breathing? To kind of come out either to this table or to this table. Get a bit of paper, use the table, scribble your name on it. All right? Just scribble your name on it. If you need some help. I know what that's like. I just put a cross sometimes, it's easier. But just put your name on it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make a little chain link out of them. And then we're going to link them all together. Is that right, Keith? Sorry, it's cost you a bit of money, but you do love me. Hallelujah. At least it's not £10 notes that we're cutting up, right? If I'd have thought of it earlier, I'd have done that. Just to check his heart. Hallelujah. So there's a bit of, there's pens over here, there's pens over there, because, okay, in one sense, some of you might be thinking, oh, we're just making a paper chain. We are, but you're on it. We're just making something funny, kind of, but it helps us realise the good thing about a chain like this is that every link is connected to at least two other ones, but there's also room to add other ones on the end. Because actually we might end up with 50, 60 links here. But when I look out over our church, all right, so that's Horsham, Crawley, Worthing, Taunton, London, Scarborough, I'm looking at several hundred thousand of these. Which would really freak him out if he was paying for the paper. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because actually it represents who we are, but also who we can become. Because I believe that here, you're going to have, if we were to do this going forward, you'd have a whole chain link all the way around this room. Do you understand? It's just that some of them haven't sussed it yet. So if you can, you can stand up. That was a great stand up, mate, I tell you. Stand up like that, that was amazing. Yeah, if you all did it though, the old floor would go up and down, wouldn't it? Just close your eyes a minute. It does all go dark, but we're not afraid of the dark, so it's all right. Father, I want to thank you that you love us. And you didn't just love with words, you showed it because you came and gave your life for every single person here. Whatever our age, you gave everything to those who had nothing. And I thank you that even now, you are still doing that. Is that as we come to the tables and write our names, help us to commit, maybe to you for the first time. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live for myself. I know that it's a bit of an unknown area, but I know it's the right thing to do. And it might be that's what you want to do, is just for the first time. I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life, and I'm going to give my life in exchange for his life. Or it might be you've already done that, in which case I'm asking you, I want to renew my commitment to Jesus. And say, God, you are everything. My hope is in you, my future's in you, my wealth is in you, my opportunities are in you, my abilities are in you. It doesn't matter that I don't bring anything to the table. All I can do is come. But when I leave with more than I brought. And then fill out your name so we can have loads of people around the tables. Fill out your name, scribble them out. And then we'll maybe get a grown-up to do the sellotape bit so we don't all end up like mummies. And then we'll start sticking some of these together. So, hello, Sharon. Sharon, you look as if you can organise paper and pens. Could you do that for me here? Don't look at me like that. Just as well, there's only two of us that can see that. Look, it's amazing. It's a big smile. With a little bit of, it was a big smile, but with a hint of, I'm going to kill you after this, in there as well. Sharon, could you come around the other way so people are looking at your front, not your blessed assurance bit. There you go. Come around the front. That's it. Is that okay? So we're not going to play any music now, because actually this needs to be real, and it needs to be relevant, and it needs to be a choice. Now, if this is too hard for you, or you don't want to do this, it's absolutely fine. Your choice is, well, I'm going to stay where I am, and that's okay. And God will bless you there, but he won't bless you as much as he will if you come on the journey. Is that right? So, Father, thank you for what you're saying, what you're doing. We thank you that this is a time for you to break in, break through and break out in our relationships. Help us to take this step in these next few minutes, which says basically we're going to cling on to one another. We're going to journey with them. We're going to either succeed together or fail together, but we're going to do it together. We're going to learn from one another. We're going to be discipled by one another for your glory, God, and for your honor. Amen. Amen. You can come on your own, come as families, come with a mate. That's it. Just come up and fill their name out. Make a little doobry, make a little link. And then my lovely assistants will help connect the links together. Okay, so that's a start off at 10. Start off at 10. So one of the things which we've kind of encouraged our guys is, right, believe for the next chain. Because the thing about this is there's no end to it. All right? Now, the Bible speaks about Jesus breaking every chain, but not this one. All right? He actually uses this one to break other ones. Like neglect, isolation, fear, sickness, infirmity, oppression, depression. He uses this one to break those ones. But it's the same principle. We do something very natural, and God does something extremely supernatural. Texting someone, bringing them around for coffee, making them a cup of tea, doing their shopping for. It's actually very natural. Everybody does that. But it's the presence of God. I'm just going to pray. Father, I want to thank you that there are more for us than against us. That you are for us. Thank you that we've heard already that he, if we know God and if we've given our life to Jesus, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And I thank you that you're going to be adding over this year one link after another link with different names on it. All of them, their past has gone a certain way, but they've realized in the crossroads of life that if they cling on to you, they'll realize that you first clung on to them. So just finish with this thought. Even sometimes when you're walking with God and it feels like you've let go of God, it is impossible for God to let go of you. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. What does that mean? It means that he clings onto our life, whatever our life looks like. And sometimes it can feel like we're in free fall. But actually, God will never let us go. What are we doing now? Steve's in charge. Have a microphone.